Good morning. Certainly is cool outside. So, yeah. Would you all stand up and greet each other? And anybody who has announcements, please come to the front.
I'm so not that tall. You'll have to put it back up because you're tall. Okay, this is how pathetic it is. I haven't even been to my seat, so I still have my purse in my hand. This is crazy. So I was back looking at the Bible school sign-up thing this morning on the way to church. I said to my daughter, hey, when you get to church today, make sure that you sign up for Bible school for what group you want to lead. She's like, I already signed up 2 weeks ago. Oh, okay, great. I apparently haven't looked at the list. Anyways, we still need group leaders. The then and nows are filled. We need somebody to take the Olympics, which is that game playing time that we do with the kids. Trevor Oyer has done it the last couple years, but he's not going to be here. So if you kind of want an idea of what kind of things he's done and how he's done it, maybe try to figure out how to get a hold of him in between his... He's at Drift Creek, correct, Bonnie? Stan? No, he's done there? Oh, is he... Oh, okay. So anyways, feel free to try to reach out to him if you have interest in doing the games for that. And then if you want to be a group leader, there's still an opening. I don't think any of the groups are completely full yet. There's still, we need a leader for at least one leader for each group age. So, and if you need to know about being a group leader, you can see me. And I'll tell you all about it. It's a lot of fun. You're kind of a tour guide. You get to see all the parts of Bible school. You get to go to the different then and now activities. And so your time that you're actually fully responsible for your kids is really actually a small amount. You're kind of just traveling with them. So, okay, I think that's it. Thanks.
Good morning. I just want to draw your attention to the newsletter, if you've gotten that out of your box. The Zion Family Camping Trip is in August. If you have already reserved a spot and you're planning on going, if you could email me, my email's in the newsletter. It's just andy@sterling.net to let me know that you're coming, just so we know how many folks are going to be there. And if you are still interested, the entire campground is booked, but I reserve two of those spots just in case someone changes their mind during the summer. So if you are interested, Mary, I know you love camping. So if you are interested in going and you just never got around to reserving a site, there's two available that I'm going to hold on to. I don't know if I can call it first come, first serve, but let's chat and find out, because a lot of times if you're coming and you just want, it's just you and you, you know, maybe you and your husband or wife, you can throw down a tent in somebody else's camp spot. And so, but anyways, we can figure out the logistics. It is the 24th and 25th, and it's at Nehalem Bay State Park, which is over in Manzanita. And it's literally right over a dune from the beach, and it has lots and lots of bike trails and other things. There will also be a potluck on that Saturday, the 25th, for folks to come out just for the day if you're interested. So let me know. Thank you.
Just to draw your attention to the bulletin on July 15th, Dell and Michelle Hirschberger, who were pastors here in the early 90s, are going to be here with their family. And so we found out they were coming and asked them to be a part of our worship that morning. So Michelle's going to preach, and Dell is going to meet with youth and young adults about voluntary service, and then we have a potluck. So this was the best way that they can see a lot of people and plan to be here and visit with them and stay for the potluck that day. So just a reminder. Thank you.
For the call to worship, would you please turn to number 671 in your blue books? 671. Oh God, we come to seeking you in our worship together. We come to you for truth because we are untrue. We come to you for strength because we are weak. We come to you for wisdom because we are unwise. Amen.
Good morning. Please turn in your hymnal to number 16, and please stand if you're able. Number 16. I'm turn over to number 559. 559. And turn to number 589. 589. My shepherd will. Thank you.
Will the ushers please come forward for offering? Heavenly Father, whether we have little or much, help us to always live open-handed in a tight-fisted world and to find our greatest joy in following and serving you. Amen. Will the children please come forward for a children's story?
What special day is coming this week? It's a holiday. 4th of July. Oh, you're going to Pennsylvania to see your grandma and grandpa, right? Oh, the holiday after 4th of July? I think it's Labor Day. Yeah. Okay. It's a little... A little off track there. So what do we do on 4th of July? We have a neighborhood thing. Yeah. We do that in my neighborhood too. Do you have a barbecue? Yeah. You barbecue sometimes? Is there sometimes a parade? None of you guys go to parades. You're not parade people. What about fireworks? Are there fireworks usually? Yeah. All right. Well, this story is called Apple Pie 4th of July. It's a 4th of July story. Okay. 7 days a week, 52 weeks, 364 days a year, and 365 in a leap year, our store is open. Christmas is the only day we close. Even on Thanksgiving, we open the store. Even on New Year's Day. And even today, the 4th of July. I hear the parade coming this way. Boom, boom, boom. I smell apple pie in Laura's oven upstairs. And chow mein in our kitchen. Chow mein. Do you know what chow mein is? Chinese food on the 4th of July. No one wants Chinese food on the 4th of July, I say. Fireworks are Chinese, Father says, and hands me a pan full of sweet and sour pork. I hear the parade. Boom, boom, boom. I hear the parade passing by. Noon, and customers come for soda and potato chips. One o'clock, and they buy ice cream. 2 o'clock, the egg rolls are getting hard. 3 o'clock, ice cream and matches. 4 o'clock, and the noodles feel like shoelaces. No one wants Chinese food on the 4th of July, I say. Mother piles noodles on my plate. My parents do not understand all American things. They were not born here, even though my father has lived here since he was 12, even though my mother loves apple pie. I cannot expect them to know Americans do not eat Chinese food on the 4th of July. So I straighten the milk in the videos and I sample a few new candy bars until 5 o'clock. When 2 hungry customers walk inside for some Chinese food to go. I tell them no one came, so we ate it up ourselves. But they smell food in the kitchen now. And mother walks through the swinging door holding a tray of chicken chow mein, and father follows her step for step with a brand new pan of sweet and sour pork. And 3 more people get in line, 11 more at 6 o'clock, 9 at 7, and 12 by 8. And more and more and more and more and more. Until it's time to close the store. Climb to our rooftop chairs, way up high beyond the crowd. Where we sit and watch the fireworks show. And eat our apple pie. And that's the end. What do you think? Do you eat Chinese food on the 4th of July? That's from the paint that we used this morning. Is your hand blue? Your hand is black. Yeah, yeah. We had paint. Ethan has some green, I see. Yeah, we had some paint this morning. Okay. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, God, for all the different kinds of food, and be with us this year on the 4th of July as we celebrate together. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we are gathered here to worship and praise you, the Good Shepherd, who cares so well for us. So I ask that you would give your words of life to restore, renew, and heal us today. Amen. Would you first please take your little insert? And you're going to help me read the scripture passage. We're going to do it together. So there's some fill in the blank. I want to see if you remember this. Take a few moments. I'll give you a little time. Don't talk to your neighbor. No cheating. And try to fill in the blanks. The Lord is my shepherd. Also, I have another activity if anyone would like to do this during the sermon. It's a maze. So you're going to help the shepherd go through the maze to guide his lamb. Who would like one of these to do during the sermon today? Anybody? Adults or children? And I've done it. It looks really difficult, but once you figure it out, it's easy. You want to do the maze? Anybody else? Yeah. Don't be intimidated by it, which I was at first. Okay, I'm going to run out in a minute. Yes? You guys want one? One more for Lucy. Okay, are we ready? Can you say the passage with me? Have you filled in all the blanks? There's a little bit at the end that I left out that I will finish. But let's do it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
For you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over.
Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I was over visiting Shirley Martin a few weeks ago, and when I go into your homes and I'm there to visit and be of encouragement, I try to choose a scripture passage that I'm going to read. So most of the time I'm driving to your home and I'm praying, and I'm asking God to give me the passage that you might need for that day. And after visiting with Shirley, I read her Psalm 23. And I told her that day, I said, the next time I preach at Zion, I'm going to preach on this passage because it's timeless. It just never gets old. It's always applicable to me, and I think to others in whatever things are happening in our lives. So this is the reason I'm focusing today on Psalm 23. And a little history behind it. We know that David was the writer of Psalm 23. He was the son of Jesse. And this was written to be sung. David was called Israel's singer of songs. And have you ever found that singing scripture is a good way to memorize it? I'm not real good at memorizing, but if I've learned a song and it is scripture, that's a great way to remember the passage. This passage can minister perfectly to our needs. The writer, David, was a child and a shepherd himself. And for him to use the illustration of a shepherd with sheep was because his people could easily identify with this in their cultural context. Middle Eastern cultures understood what shepherding was all about. This passage today from David, we know, and we know from the words that David has developed an affection and care toward his flock. The duties of a shepherd in biblical times were very time-consuming. For example, in early morning, a shepherd takes the flock out from the fold to spot a place where they're to be pastured. Here he would watch them all day, taking care that none of the sheep strayed. And if at any time one of them dodged away from his watch and wander away, he would carefully look and seek after them to bring them back. In desert land, sheep require to be supplied regularly with water, and the shepherd for this purpose had to guide them to some kind of a running stream or to wells that were dug in the wilderness. At night, he would bring them back to the fold, counting them as they passed under the door. And if any were missing, he would again have to go out to find them. Oftentimes, even after dark, he would still have to be on the job, guarding the sheep from wild beasts. So my question today is, why did David write this down? Why has this passage endured? Why do we connect with it so well today? It's poetic. It is easy to memorize. The power of this psalm speaks something true about us, about our hearts, our minds, and our hopes. And as humans, we wrestle with pain, loss, forgiveness, love, and death. And Psalm 23 helps us name it, what we are going through, and it helps us give expression and articulate what we are feeling. So Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in this passage, is here to care for us. I have a shepherd who makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He walks with me, prepares a table for me with nourishment, and anoints my head with oil. God is portrayed as the greatest shepherd, and what comfort to know that he is a part of my daily activities, eating, drinking, seeking safety, rest, and security. In the ancient world, kings were supposed to be the shepherds of their people, providing food and security. In our 21st century living, it's easy to get caught up in the moment, in every moment of the day, to respond to urgent demands. I have to reply to that email. I have to respond to that comment on my wall on Facebook. Gotta retweet that tweet. Gotta read that message, listen to that voicemail, and it goes on and on. So how do we keep our shepherd Jesus at the center of life so we don't spiral out of control? He wants a personal relationship with us, and it's part of an inside job. It's not just reading the passage, it's meditating on the passage, it's going inward, it's allowing God's Spirit to work and minister in our lives. Every one of us has a valley. Some of us have a valley we've been given at birth, a valley of poverty or abuse. Some of us that are born into green pastures of plenty at times can dig our own valley of shadow through struggles, regrets, loss, addictions, depression, broken relationships, illness, injuries, anxiety, and violence. Violence? Thomas Merton, an American Catholic writer, theologian, and mystic, says this about violence. The rush and pressure of modern life are a form, perhaps the most common form of violence. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone and everything is to give in to violence. The frenzy of the activist destroys the fruitfulness of one's own work because it kills the root of inner wisdom which makes work fruitful. So how do we work on that inner wisdom? And it's a journey inward. That journey inward provides the strength we need to minister to one another. While we are walking through our valleys, we know from Scripture that God is with us. He bears all the suffering and pain of the world and the hurts of our scarred and scared souls. And He doesn't intend for us to stay in those valleys forever. Valleys are not resting places, but passageways. We can walk through them with Him at our side. And it brings comfort to me to know the one who suffered and died for me, Jesus, is on this journey. We have a tendency to wander off without guidance, to get into situations that we cannot rescue ourselves. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. 1 Peter 2:25. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. We sang this morning the beautiful hymn, Thank You, Julie, for Your Choices. He brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake His ways and leads me for His mercy's sake in paths of truth and grace. So even David, a shepherd boy, a musician, a poet, a warrior, the king of Israel, knew that he needed the Lord to be his own good shepherd. Where do you put your trust? What makes this passage so timeless? It's because it connects with our human need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me lie down in pastures of tender grass. He leads me with care to gentle, safe waters. He restores my soul. He renews my life. Even though I walk through the dark valley, Lord, You are with me. You are standing by my side. And I will dwell in Your house with You forever, days without end. Our shepherd God is interested in far more than just keeping the herd alive. He wants to fatten the flock, restore, refresh, and renew us. And we experience that by getting to know Him, spending time growing a relationship with Jesus, our shepherd. Matthew 6:25-34. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In your bulletin are some words to the song, Be Still. And I want to sing this as a response song. And I'm going to ask that you just prayerfully be listening and looking at the words for this as a response. still and know that I'm with you. Be still and know that I am here. Be still and know that I'm with you. Be still and know. When darkness comes upon you and covers you with fear and shame, be still and know that I'm with you, and I will say your name. If terror falls upon your bed and sleep no remember all the words I said. Be still, and know. And when you go through the valley and the shadow comes down from the hill, if morning never comes to be still, if you forget the way to go and lose where you came from, if no one is standing beside you, be still and know I am. Be still and know that I'm with you. Be still and know. Take a few moments for our prayer and share time. If you would like to share, please raise your hand. I'll bring you the microphone. There are some prayer requests on the back of the bulletin that you can note of surgeries scheduled this week for some in our congregation. We want to remember Matthew and Becky, who are finishing up a week of vacation, and we'll be back next week also. Anyone else? I would love to hear from some of the campers. Drift Creek Camp. Bree.
At the end of April, I think, I had asked for prayers for a little boy named Matthew who was going to be turning 2 and was in foster care. And my brother and his wife were one of 3 families being considered. And I just wanted to give a quick update that they did end up with Matthew. He's been with them now for a month, and it's going great. I don't know that Matthew understands that they are going to be his family now because he's been bounced around a little bit. But I just want to ask for prayers for Matthew and for my brother and his wife and their 2 kids that they already had, in addition to Matthew, and just pray for a smooth transition and a blessed future.
Tristan and Gretchen. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else like to share? Way in the back, Ken Beachy.
This is Ken. Jana, thank you for singing that song. I was really moved by that verse from Psalms about being still and knowing. I've meditated on that a lot and wondered what there is about quietness and stillness that brings a knowledge of God. Still don't know yet. Still there. We're really thankful that in a few hours, well, tomorrow at 11:20, Sarah and the family will land in Portland. Right now they're on their way flying from Kuala Lumpur to Holland. It's a marathon trip. I ask for prayers for little Ezra and Mateo. That flying is tough on them. Thank you.
Anyone else like to share or back? Any campers want to share? I'm just throwing it out there. Serenity.
Along the same lines as Bree, I have a friend named Waynette Zelinka. Some people know her as Ketchum, but some of you know her from things that she's come to at Zion. Andy and I have been in relationship with her for quite a few years now, walking some hard life stuff. But she is fostering her two of her grandchildren right now. Tomorrow, she actually is having them taken into another foster, it's not her choice. But the caseworker is taking the children and putting them with another family. And it's hard. Like, I don't really know what to say to her. And we're just trying to support her. So if you know her, or if you have any kind of relationship with her, she would love encouragement of any kind. I can get you her text number so pray for her and for those kids, man. I'm not sure of the family they're going to next, but I'm hoping for a good, loving place.
Thank you. Remember them, Kelly.
I just wanted to thank you for your message. We received some answers this week that were not the answers that we had hoped for. And so just keep our family in your prayers.
Thank you. Yeah, Mary.
Since I don't see any high schoolers jumping up to talk about their week at camp, each Sunday in Sunday school, because I teach the high schoolers, we always go around the room and everybody says one good thing from the week, and then they share if there was something sad or disappointing or frustrating. And this week, as we went around the circle, everybody's good thing was camp. And the only disappointing thing was they had to come home from camp. So there you go. I suppose any high schooler could add to that, but I think that helps.
Good to know. And we want to keep praying for all those at Drift Creek making camp happen and campers going out today too. I remember them. Okay, let's go to prayer. Lord, you are the good shepherd of your people. And we, as your flock, acknowledge our need of you. Give us ears to hear and know your voice in this journey called life. We want to lift those this morning that have been named. We think of these families caring for foster children, Tristan and Gretchen. And we think of Waynette and her grandchildren, Lord, asking for your protection, that you would bring smooth transitions in both of these instances and give these children loving homes and loving parents. We want to pray for Sarah and Mark and their boys en route to Oregon just ask that you would bring an ease to the travel and time spent on a plane. We ask for their safe arrival. And we pray for those in our congregation, Linda Peters, Jean Gosho, this week, as they prepare for surgery. We ask that you would be with their doctors guiding this work. We pray for healing for them, that this will renew their ability to move and do the things they love, and you would just give them a speedy recovery. We pray for Matthew and Becky, asking you that you have brought refreshment to them and rest this week, and we pray for their safe return. Thank you that you call us by name. Thank you that you are the one who brings hope and truth and comfort in our lives. We give you the praise this morning. Amen. Please take your... there's another insert in your bulletin with the song, our response song, Benediction. Please stand. Serenity brought this to our attention last week, and we heard it sung. We're going to sing it today and learn it together. So we don't have the hallelujahs there, but we're going to sing the hallelujahs first and then in between the verses, so just follow us on the hallelujahs. Hallelujah, hallelujah.